Good morning. A very warm welcome to you all this morning, a special welcome to anyone we have visiting with us this morning, and welcome as well to those who are joining us online either now or later in the day or in the week. Wherever you're worshiping or whoever you are, know that you are very welcome here today. Let us worship God. We sing together hymn 100, O Lord, Thou art my God and King, hymn 100. Our call to prayer this morning comes from Psalm 145, the 8th verse. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Let us pray. Gracious God, the wonders of creation, the splendor of the heavens, the beauty of the earth, the order and richness of nature all speak to us of your glory. We give you thanks for the unity and diversity of your creation, and we praise your grace in making us a part of that creation. Lord, the coming of your Son, the presence of your Spirit, and the fellowship of your church show us the marvel of your love. We give thanks that you have called us together in worship this morning, just as you call your people together in different places and in different ways all across this great world. Holy God, your love and grace are evident to us in so many ways, and we are ever grateful for the ways that you draw us to yourself each and every day. And even as we gather together before you this morning in praise, we are aware of the ways that we fall short of your promise. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed. We have sinned by things we have done and by things we have left undone. We have ignored your presence and at times neglected your children. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And we ask that for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would have mercy on us. As the psalmist states, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So give us the grace to hear your promise of mercy and the courage to trust in your promise of forgiveness, that we might know your love in our lives and then share that love with the world. And Lord, teach us to pray as you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, again, good morning to you all. Just a couple of intimations. There are a few more things printed on your order of service, but just a few things I'll mention this morning. First, as always, there will be a time of fellowship and hospitality in the sanctuary following the service, with tea and biscuits and coffee being served, so you are warmly welcome to join us for that. And the next, on Wednesday at noon, there will be a lunch. Sterling Kirks Together will host a lunch at Park Church Hall. That'll be Wednesday at noon, with an optional donation of £3 for that. So those are all the intimations. So on to Gary.
Thank you, Jake. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. I've got a wee toy with me today. Can you see what I've got along with me this morning? Telescope, yes. A great thing altogether, isn't it? If you want to see something that's far away in the distance, or look at a bird up in a branch in a tree, or a ship out at sea, or something that's just so far away that the human eye would struggle to see it, a telescope can be a great help altogether. But of course, simply having a telescope isn't enough. If you're rushing about or waving it around like this, you'll not see much through it at all. For a telescope to be any use, you've got to hold it carefully. You've got to be steady. You've got to take time and adjust it so that you can see clearly through it. I wonder if life can be a bit like that. Many of us spend our days rushing from one thing to another. There are jobs to do, people to care for, messages to answer, and places to be. When life becomes really busy, it's not always that we lose sight of what is important. We simply don't stop long enough to notice it. That, for me, is one of the gifts of coming to church. For a little while, we stop, we settle, we pray, we sing, we listen. And like looking through a telescope that's finally in focus, we can begin to see things much more clearly. As we read through the Gospels, it's clear that Jesus understood the importance of slowing down. Although crowds constantly wanted his attention, he often slipped away to quiet places to pray. And when he taught, he invited the people to look around them, to look at the birds in the sky and the flowers growing in the fields, reminding them as he did so that God's love can be seen in ordinary things if only we take the time to stop and to look. Perhaps that's one reason why gathering for worship matters so much. It helps us to refocus. It reminds us of what is truly important and of the God who is always with us, even when life seems so very busy. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, Come and Find the Quiet Center. A quiet center isn't about escaping from life. It's about finding that special place where God helps us to see things more clearly. So as we sing, let us ask God to steady our hearts, to sharpen our vision, and to help us notice his presence, not only here in church, but wherever we happen to be. Thanks be to God. And so we sing the hymn 716, 716, Come and Find the Quiet Center in the Crowded Life We Lead.
Morning. Today's Bible reading will be taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, from verse 1 to verse 5, and that will be found on page 616 of the Pew Bible. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And the second reading will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, from verse 25 to verse 30, and that's on page 10 of the Pew Bible. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All these things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and to the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord bless this reading in our hearts. Amen.
Thank you so much. We sing together hymn 553, Just As I Am Without One Plea, hymn 553.
There are invitations we find hard to refuse. An invitation to a wedding, an invitation to a meal with friends, a phone call asking if we'd like to meet up for a cup of tea. Invitations matter. Why do they matter? They matter because they tell us something simple and yet profound. Someone wants us to be there. In a world where many people feel overlooked, that is no small thing. Today's gospel begins not with a command, but with an invitation, the gracious invitation, as it's been called. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Few words of Jesus have brought greater comfort than these. Not because life suddenly becomes easy, not because our burdens suddenly disappear, but because Jesus Christ speaks to life as it truly is. Many of us are tired, physically tired, emotionally tired, perhaps even spiritually tired. Some, I know, are anxious about a family member. Some worry about their financial situation. Some live with grief. Some are exhausted from caring for others. And many people simply feel the strain of trying to keep going in a demanding and troubled world. And into that reality, and here is the wonderful good news, into that reality Jesus says, come, come to me. We find a similar invitation in the passage that we read from Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, everything about that invitation sounds impossible, doesn't it? How do you buy without money? How do you receive without earning? Most of us would immediately start looking for the terms and the conditions. We would think there's bound to be a catch somewhere. But my dear people, God's grace is not a transaction. It is a gift. God does not sell his blessing. He gives it freely, generously, abundantly. A little girl once asked her grandfather, why does God love me? And the grandfather replied, that's the wrong question. And the girl looked puzzled. The question isn't why God loves you. The question is why we ever think he wouldn't. There's a great truth there, isn't there? Children, it seems to me, often understand grace better than adults. A child invited into a parent's arms does not usually stop to ask why. They simply come. But somewhere along the way in life, we are taught time and time again that everything must be earned. Jesus spends much of his ministry undoing that assumption. Isaiah asks, why spend your money for what is not bread, and your labor for what does not satisfy? That's a very modern question too, isn't it? We're constantly told that satisfaction is just one more step away. One more purchase, you'll be satisfied. One more promotion, you'll be satisfied. One more holiday, you'll be satisfied. And yet the truth, the hunger remains. Not hunger for food, but for peace, for meaning, for purpose, for direction, for rest. Someone said, our world is remarkably good at producing achievement. It is less successful at producing contentment. Into that restless world, Jesus says, come to me. A husband and wife were shopping in a busy department store when they became separated. And the wife phoned her husband and asked, where on earth are you? He replied, do you remember that jewelry shop we visited many years ago where you saw a necklace you loved, but we couldn't afford to buy it? The wife, well, she softened immediately. Yes, I remember it well. He said, right, I'm in the bookies next door. The point, and there's always a point, we all spend time looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. Jesus doesn't say, sort yourself out and then come. He simply says, come as you are. Come to me. The invitation, and this is important, is not to a place, but to a person. Come to me. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the heart of the gospel. But you'll recall that Jesus then added to what he had said, to that invitation, take my yoke upon you. Now, at first, that sounds like a strange invitation, because a yoke is associated with work. But a good yoke was carefully fitted so that a burden could be carried well. Often, in times past, a younger ox would walk beside an older, stronger one, learning its pace while the stronger animal carried most of the weight. That's a beautiful picture of discipleship. Jesus does not ask us to journey through life on our own. He walks with us. He bears what we cannot. And that is why he can say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says that not because there are no difficulties. He says that not because there is no cross. He says it because we do not walk alone. A family once set off on a walk in the Highlands. The parents carried rucksacks. Their young son insisted on carrying his own backpack, which seemed almost as large as he was. Before long, he was struggling. His father smiled and lifted the bag from his shoulders and carried it himself. His father did not shorten the journey. He simply made it possible for his son to continue. And that is something like what happens in the Christian life. Christ does not always remove every difficulty, but he carries what would otherwise weigh us down and even crush us. Here in Stirling, surrounded by hills that have witnessed centuries of history, many of us, I'm sure, have stood up on the castle esplanade and looked out at the landscape below. As we look, the roads are still busy. People are still hurrying about their lives. And yet, from that height, everything looks different. My dear people, sometimes a change of perspective does not change our circumstances per se, but it can help us to see those circumstances within a much larger horizon. That is what Jesus does. He does not deny our burdens, and we must note that. But he helps us to see them within the greater reality of God's redeeming love and care. And so his invitation remains: come to me. And that invitation is not only for those out with the church. It is for us as well, because we do not come to Christ once and then move on. We come again and again and again, because life keeps asking new questions, and Christ keeps offering himself afresh to us. Come to me. The church has always lived through seasons of change. People move on. New faces arrive. Circumstances change. But the one who says, come to me, remains the same. And that is why I say to you today, my beloved congregation, do not be afraid of the future. For the church's future, and that includes the future of St. Ninian's Old, where I have been blessed to minister for so long a time, rest safely in Christ's hands. And that is not an idle statement. It is the gospel. Truly, Isaiah's feast and Jesus' invitation belong together. Both reveal a God who does not deal in wages, but in gifts. A God who does not say, prove yourself, but simply says, come to me. and perhaps the greatest witness the church can offer today. It's not certainty about everything, nor success in every endeavour. Perhaps it's much simpler. A place where weary people find rest, where anxious people find peace, where lonely people find welcome, where ordinary people discover that Christ still speaks. We cannot remove every burden. We cannot solve every problem. But we, the people of God in this place, can point with confidence to the one who says, "Come to me." And so we return to where we began. Not a demand, not a test, not an achievement, but an invitation that, praise God, still stands. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the hymn 470, hymn 470, "Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun."
Let us pray. Most holy God, we thank you for your gracious invitation We thank you that you have invited us and continue to welcome us into your holy presence, where your yoke is easy and your burden is light. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what burdens we may be carrying, whether those brought upon ourselves or those placed upon us by the world, you welcome each of us and call us to join you as we are. You invite us to bring our burdens to you where we might release them into your care and into your keeping, and so we lift our prayers of intercession to you now. Lord, we pray for your church here and in every place. Free us from any temptations toward division or sectarianism, and enable us and all your people to take your gentle yoke upon ourselves, that we might bear your love and your grace to one another and to the world. Lord, we pray for our world. All creation sings your praise, and as we take our part in that praise, we ask that you would revive our wonder at all that you have made, and that you would strengthen our resolve to ensure the health of this planet for the sake of future generations. And Lord, we pray for all who carry heavy burdens. Especially we lift to you those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. We ask that you would lighten their loads and heal their wounds, and that they might find wholeness and healing in you. We pray as well for those in our world who are carrying burdens caused by war or violence or division or hatred or poverty. We long for that day when all people might come to the waters and drink, and those without money can come and eat their fill. Lord, give to your church and to all your people the will to share what we have and work for a world where everyone has enough. Finally, Lord, we remember all those who have walked with us in this life and who have now laid their burdens down and rest in you. Inspire us by their example and draw us into your love and mercy until that great day when we are all gathered together as one in your gracious presence. All this we ask, trusting in the promise of your love made real in the person of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Lord. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn 192, All My Hope on God is Founded, hymn 192.
Thank you.
Go now trusting the one whose invitation is constant and whose love endures forever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you forevermore.